Welcome to More Than Wealth with Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins from the Gold Wealth Management Group. In this podcast, we help business executives, business owners, and high net worth individuals navigate the multifaceted world of wealth planning. No matter how complex the situation, we provide financial advice and guidance to instill greater confidence in pursuing your life's goals. By leveraging the vast resources of UBS and collaborating with a team of external specialists, we'll delve into both basic and complex planning topics. Beyond the numbers, we'll also explore the stories behind the wealth. By interviewing business owners and thought leaders in our community, we aim to share insightful and inspiring tales of success. Join us on this journey where we explore wealth and the compelling stories behind it on More Than Wealth.
Hello and welcome to the More Than Wealth podcast with the team from Gold Wealth Management Group. Today's guest is Mike Alexander. Mike is a managing director at UBS Financial. In his role, he partners with financial advisors at the firm to align UBS Asset Management's wealth services and portfolio strategies with client goals. Since joining UBS in 2005, Mike has held various roles, including senior internal investment consultant and national desk manager. Prior to his time at UBS, he was an investment consultant at Brinker Capital. Now, here are the hosts of the More Than Wealth podcast, Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins.
Welcome back to More Than Wealth, where we explore the forces that shape your financial life beyond your portfolio. Today, though, we're making an exception. We are focusing on your portfolio.
Today, we're shining light on a strategy which we believe is one of the best kept secrets in investing today, direct indexing. We're going to talk about what it is, who it's for, and why it might change the way you think about investing.
To help us break it all down, we're joined by our longtime friend and colleague, Mike Alexander. Mike is the managing director for the New England region for UBS Asset Management. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you both, Darren and Sam.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, Mike, at the Gold Group, we've been big advocates of this strategy for a long time. But for listeners hearing about this for the first time, what exactly is direct indexing?
Yeah. And again, thanks for a couple minutes here today to the audience. I think maybe it's first to kind of take a step back at the evolution here. You know, the first modern mutual fund was created back in the 1920s and really did a great job of allowing the concept of pooling investors' money together to buy a diversified basket of stocks, right? It was one of the greatest inventions ever in capital markets, the mutual fund. Then in the early 1990s, you had the innovation with exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, as many of you are very familiar with. And the creation of ETFs kind of took the concept of mutual funds a step further, right? It was a commingled pool of assets, but with a generally lower fee schedule and ability to trade throughout the day. So a little bit better liquidity, right, in ETFs than traditional 40 Act mutual funds. The mutual funds actually strike an NAV at the end of the day. Part of the beauty of capital markets is evolution is always happening, right? It's happening every minute. While we're on this call, someone is in the kitchen working on a new recipe here to make their capital markets as efficient as possible. And that's really what direct indexing is about. Direct indexing is kind of the third leg of that mutual fund ETF stool, and really one that is geared towards ultra high net worth and high net worth clients in general. Direct indexing portfolios at their core, Darren and Sam, they're separately managed accounts. So individual ownership of the securities with a particular index in mind. So it could be S&P 500, it could be Russell 1000 Growth, could be MSCI World, a global index, with a level of customization that mutual funds and ETFs really just cannot deliver, right? And you would own in a direct indexing portfolio, should you be investing in one, you would own potentially 200 to 400 individual securities, depending on the manager and what type of index you're following. But using the S&P 500, because that's one that everybody is very, very familiar with, you'd probably own anywhere between 200 to 400 names that replicate that index from both a return and a risk standpoint. Very rare that you would own every single name in that index, right? Because as you get to the bottom half, you start to have partial shares and things that really don't move the needle. But direct indexing is the individual ownership of the name. So you own a lot of the names versus one single line item that you have in a mutual fund or an ETF. And there are many advantages that I'm sure we're going to get into here in a little bit as to why owning those individual names makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Got it. All right. So it's a separately managed account that will track whatever index you decide you would like to track, and owning the individual stocks in your account versus a pooled investment like a mutual fund.
Exactly.
Mike, why do you think direct indexing has gained so much traction recently? Is it technology, investor demand? It seems like a big buzz right now.
Yeah, this is, Sam, this is easily the fastest growing segment of the market. You know, not just at UBS and in my neck of the woods, it's everywhere. You know, all of my friends that work at wirehouses, RIAs, this is where the discussions are. And you know, I use that kind of cliche term, but you know, the puck is here, right? It's not where the puck is going. The puck is very, very much here. And we know that because of the incredible percentage growth that we've seen of the direct indexing business across the market. So, you know, at every firm, they do client surveys. I think this is very important, as they should, by the way. Yeah. You want to know what your clients want and what they feel they need, right? Oftentimes, those can be very different things, as you know, in your seat as an advisor. But at every survey that our firm sees and the industry, high net worth clients, ultra high net worth clients are asking for three very distinct things. They are asking for cost efficiency. They are asking for tax efficiency. And they are asking for customization / personalization, right?
Right.
On the cost side, no one likes paying, you know, a higher fee for a deliverable, right? We all know that. Even though we could argue there's many reasons why you want to pay more for specific things. But direct indexing checks the box, and that is generally a very low cost deliverable to clients, right? Number two, I would say on the tax side of the equation, as to why it's growing so much, and we'll get into this a bit more, but no one likes paying taxes, right? I live in New Jersey. The tax man is always coming. You know, Massachusetts, obviously, with increased tax rates there, you guys know the same thing. But no one likes paying taxes. And the Economic Bureau of Research shows that the average investor pays about 1.5 to 2% of their account value every year in taxes. That's a pretty big nugget, right? So generally more than the fee they're paying or anything else in the portfolio. So taxes matter. Direct indexing allows a manager to use various techniques that we're going to explore here in a little bit to mitigate taxes and help your clients effectively keep more, because it's about what you keep, right? Not so much about what you earn. And that's why looking at after-tax return is so important. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say the third thing that that has really caused the explosion of interest into the space is that customization, personalization side. So, you know, by owning individual securities, you can do things that mutual funds and ETFs simply can't. You can restrict individual companies. You can restrict individual sectors. You can have exposure. If you have clients that work at specific companies, investors that work at specific companies and are overallocated to a specific stock or overallocated to a specific sector, obviously you can customize these portfolios really to do whatever you want them to do. So those big three, tax efficiency, cost efficiency, customization, I'd say are the reason why you're expanding the way we are. And someone said, something that stuck with me very, very much when we started to enter into the direct indexing area at UBS. But this is kind of like taking your own vehicle, your own private vehicle to your investment destination, right? Versus kind of getting into public transportation, which would be more aligned with a mutual fund or an ETF. And that kind of always stuck with me, right? I think that's why ultra high net worth and high net worth clients are so attracted to this area and why it's growing the way it is.
Yeah, no, I love that. Totally agree. I think that, you know, coming back to tax management, one of the highest priorities for our clients. And you think about, you know, our clients, particularly new clients coming to us, they're typically wealthy at the point that they become new clients and they're paying us to keep them wealthy. And I think a big part of that is making sure that we've got an efficient tax management plan in place. And so why don't we just get into that? We'll get into how it works. So can you walk us through kind of what actually happens when someone invests through a direct indexing strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, maybe I'll kind of start with, you know, some cases, right? Some actual live cases on why this, you know, why this works, right? And I'd say, you know, first and foremost, you know, taxes is probably one of the biggest reasons why, as I mentioned, this space is growing so much. We have a very high class problem to solve for our clients out there right now. The markets have done really, really well for a very long period of time, right? In particular, AI, Mag 7, you name it, the most volatile stocks have continued to kind of lead the market. And it's been a fairly concentrated rally over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years as well. Those names have really driven the majority of the market return. So when you think about a portfolio, and investors have this problem pretty much across the board, the old saying, concentration makes you wealthy, diversification keeps you wealthy, right?
Is a
phrase that very much stuck with me. And
yeah,
right now you're looking at this kind of wealth transition problem out there of how do we take concentrated low basis stock portfolios, right? And get you on the path to broader diversification, which is really what direct indexing is about. It's getting you on the path to diversification. So with a direct indexing portfolio, and you can absolutely fund with cash, and I'll touch on that in a second, and why, you know, funding with cash on these things is a great way and a great value proposition. But really what most of our cases we work on, about 80%, are portfolios of appreciated low basis stock, right? So the old world, you know, a client would come to you guys with highly appreciated stock or low cost basis stock. You would give it to an asset manager and they have a model, right? And they would say, well, we don't own these names that your client owns, so we want to sell those names, realize that gain, and then buy the names that we want to buy, right? Mm-hmm. And with a direct index, the wonderful thing is because of that personalization and customization we talked about is you can fund with these securities. And because there are so many names that we own in an S&P 500 or Russell 1000 growth, et cetera, we can take in the client's existing positions and run what direct indexing managers call transition scenarios, where they will provide to the client basically different outcomes based on the risk of the securities and the embedded gains. And that allows the advisor and the client and their CPA, if you work with a CPA, hopefully most of your clients do. I know you work with some of the best CPAs in the area. It allows them to kind of look at the client's total picture and say, okay, how much do we want to potentially realize in capital gains on day one to get moving on this path towards owning that direct index, right? And that is the high touch scenario here. So for some clients, they may have carry forward losses, you know, from investments that did not do well or sold a business at a loss or, you know, and had carry forward losses. They may be able to take more gains on day one because they have losses to immediately offset those gains, right? But that doesn't happen for every investor. So they may say, hey, Darren and Sam, you know, we want to get on the path to diversification, but we really don't want to rip the Band-Aid off to expose the tax wounds underneath. We want the manager to be very thoughtful and very slow about the way that they transition this portfolio. And that is what direct indexing is all about. We can harvest the volatility from the market to slowly transition out of appreciated names, low cost basis names, realize losses on the new tax lots that we buy in the index, and then use those losses to help trim down those securities that have actually been overweight or have embedded gains for your clients. And the market, you know, the wonderful gift of the market, as you very well know, is there's always volatility in this market, right? And the more volatility we have, the better direct indexing certainly works. And I was just looking at some of these stats, you know, today that I think are great to read, but just think about the last 4 years in the marketplace, looking at the S&P 500, you know, in 2025 through the end of July, the market, S&P was up 8.6%. Great number, right? I think people would lock that in all day long. And the market's even doing better now. But there were 217 names in the S&P 500 that were actually at a loss through July 31st that we could have sold, right? Harvested that loss and started to trim down your client's positions that are at a gain. That's what direct indexing has the ability to do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, for me, it's an actually perfect example, was April of this year, right? You had Liberation Day. I remember I was in Boston, actually up by you guys, and went to a lunch meeting. The market was up 2,000 points. I left the lunch meeting, and the market was down 2,000
points. Down 2,000 points,
yeah. So what happened in that 1 hour while we spoke? Was it something we said? But the reality is we were super active during that period of time, direct indexing managers across the industry. And most direct indexing managers probably traded 3-4 times during that month to harvest losses for your clients.
No, it's been amazing. Yeah. I mean, this year specifically, and you look back and, you know, we've been using direct indexing for 7 or 8 years. And, you know, to see clients, to see the light finally go off and they're like, oh, I get it now. Right now we look back this year and talk about Liberation Day. And we had clients actually, you know, during our mid-year review saying, this is going to be great. You know, we actually can harvest losses. You know, your clients are looking at a down market and they're seeing it as an opportunity, you know, rather than as a negative outcome. And I think it's fantastic. And I think you look at, you know, let's look back at maybe 15 years ago, what did advisors typically do when it came to tax loss harvesting? They would wait until the end of the year, and then they would sell a few stocks that might be down in the portfolio to help offset this year's gains. And if you did that this year, you missed the opportunity in April to go in and harvest those losses. So the advantage, one of the things that we love about direct indexing is the minute that you flip the switch, get the client set up, put the money to work, the tax loss harvesting starts on day one. We're not waiting till the end of the year to start taking losses. So you're picking up 11 months more of an opportunity to manage your taxes rather than waiting until December. And for us, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, when I talk to many financial advisors across the industry, I love to ask them, you know, hey, you know, how do you do your tax planning, you know, for clients, right? And you guys are some of the best in the industry. But, you know, some people will say, well, you know, November, I start to get my documents in line and, you know, you already lost.
Right.
You already lost in that scenario because volatility happens on January 2nd. It starts the first day of the year. And even at UBS, where, you know, most of our clients, it was kind of a bummer to look at the statistics, but only about, you know, 25% of separately managed accounts for taxable clients submitted tax loss harvest requests. And Darren and Sam, about 80% of those requests came in the month of November. So they missed all of that. And direct index is almost like having a concierge tax manager
right.
all year round.
Right.
And COVID was another great example, not to harp on a bad period, but if you remember COVID, you know, the market dropped 30% in the month of March. And we harvested, right? Managers harvested in the direct indexing space. They realized those losses for clients. They kept their market exposure. And then lo and behold, a month later, markets were back to even. And clients got the return of the index they were trying to replicate during that period. And they had no, you know, very, very low tax bill. And that's the beauty of what, you know, direct indexing can do for clients. And again, we have not met many people that have told us that they are okay with a tax surprise at the end of the year. It's just that is the thing that causes, I think, as much anxiety as anything else for our investors.
So, Mike, you mentioned ultra high net worth investors. I'm wondering if firms are making direct indexing more accessible, more mainstream to maybe not the ultra high net worth. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it probably goes a little bit into technology, which you know, I'm sure we'll probably touch on here a little bit. Scale is wildly important in this space, right? And I would say, you know, it's probably a space direct indexing where it's 60% technology, 40% human, right? It's a very commoditized area. Most stocks and bonds are, but it's not a wildly difficult thing to do. You just have to have the right technology and obviously the right amount of people to implement the actual day-to-day scaling of the technology. So you're seeing first and foremost more index replication everywhere. You're starting to see a lot of Russell 2000 now. You're starting to see a lot of pure EFI, right? International stocks, no surprise now that international feels like it's finally outperforming US markets for the first time in, you know, very, very long period of time. But you're starting to see more replication, more different indexes to be able to invest in. But also minimums are coming down, significantly, right? You're seeing now most index replication can be done for as low as $100,000 for clients. Some of the bigger global indexes, Darren and Sam, that probably won't change because, you know, some of them own 800 to 1,000 securities in them. But as the market becomes more efficient, technology gets better, they figure out ways to deliver the return of the index with the right amount of risk, you're going to continue to see, you know, minimums come down, and it's going to be a much more accessible area for all investors.
Do you see at some point where, you know, the proliferation of this type of investing? I mean, I don't know why everybody, obviously IRA accounts, retirement accounts, there's no need for tax loss harvesting. But do you see a point, or maybe you can just tell us a little bit about the future. What do you see in the industry? Is this going to be the democratization of tax management? Is everybody going to be doing this? And how do you see that kind of impacting the industry in the future? Will it create more volatility because there'll be more tax loss harvesting? What do you see if we look out a few years?
Yeah, it's a great, I mean, it's a really, you know, big question, you know, first and foremost. And I think we've always said that, you know, for clients where it makes sense on their tax situation, this is the way that clients' taxable money should be managed, right? And if you think about direct indexing, there's two main techniques I just want to kind of highlight for the audience. First, it's that active tax loss harvesting that we talked about, right? Meaning taking from the market what it gives you. So when there are sell-offs, you have the ability to take those losses and carry them forward or use them to offset gains. And then secondarily, it's also about deferral of short-term to long-term, right? In normal portfolios where folks aren't focused on taxes or own the individual lots, no one knows if, you know, Darren owned Meta for 3 years and Sam only owned it for 10 months, right? They just sell it when they want to sell it. And obviously for Sam, it's a very, very painful short-term capital gain. Darren's feeling a little bit better about himself because he's paying at a long-term tax rate, but it's still not wonderful, right? But the ability to look through and defer short-term gains to long-term gains is a huge aspect of this portfolio. You're going to see a lot of advancement due to technology, Darren, to your question. Mm-hmm. You're going to see more efficient structures come into the market, private credit managers, hedge fund managers coming in, where they kind of unleash the harness, if you will, on what can be done with direct indexing and tax loss harvesting, where they can actually go short names in the market where they think that they can extract, that they're going to be able to determine which names are going to go down more than others in the market. That will give them more ability to generate tax loss harvesting, more losses for clients that need it to offset the sale of a security or the sale of a business elsewhere. So you're going to see more structures that can probably more efficiently generate losses as you go forward. Those structures will have, you know, probably higher fees and maybe a little bit less liquidity and things like that. But for clients that have a really, really big, gain from, again, a sale of a business or the sale of a security where they made a fortune, some of those structures that will unleash the long only side of the equation are going to be where a lot of the interest is coming. But the technology is improving every day. You've seen it. You know, UBS, is always trying to improve technology, as every firm is. There's hubs that people are developing where they store your after tax reports. So many different wonderful things that are coming to this space. It is again a very, very commoditized, very, very competitive space.
I could see that.
Mike, you are part of our extended team. So we work directly with you. You help with creating portfolios and customization. Do you have a client story, obviously without the specific details, where direct indexing really made a meaningful difference that you can share with the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll use the story of our first client into our direct indexing platform many years ago, because I think it's really an important one and one that is very, very relevant. It was a family office on the West Coast that actually was going through a generational change and kind of a lot of infighting about kind of where these clients were going to go. You know, a lot of folks were presenting to them at the time. It was about a $150, $200 million family office. And they came to us and they kind of said, we love everything that you guys do as, you know, as a risk manager. We love the way, you know, you guys manage portfolios, but you know, most of the managers that we're talking to don't pay attention to taxes, right? And this is where direct indexing really came, you know, really was kind of birthed from this client. We went back to the kind of boiler room and said, what can we be doing better as, you know, as a manager? And direct indexing was obviously the, you know, the natural kind of home for this client. They were dealing with wildly appreciated positions at the time, about three or four mainly concentrated positions. And everything we had, Darren and Sam, just didn't work. We had to trim, we had to, again, rip off that proverbial Band-Aid. But with direct indexing, it allowed this family office to kind of see Gen 1 to Gen 2, how we were able to take in these very volatile, highly appreciated stocks and work out of them over time. The family office also was able to say, you know, as a direct indexing manager, can we put capital gain budgets each year, right? And that's another thing that direct indexing is wonderful for. You could actually tell a manager what kind of capital gain budget you want to work within over a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 year period. So that client was wildly happy with what we were able to do. And we did that in the context of a globally diversified, you know, portfolio. We always like to say the good with the bad. You know, one of the main questions that we get from our clients, and I'm sure you hear it all the time with direct indexing, is, well, how long will it take me to get to the end game of owning, you know, the risk and return of a specific benchmark? And that one's up to mother market, right? For lack of a better phrase, you know, if we have 5 more years like we just had, we can generally solve a lot of problems for our clients that have, you know, outside gains because the market's been giving us the gift of volatility while going up, by the way. It's been a wonderful, you know, 5 years for the market. But, you know, if you have more years like 2016, 2017, where pullbacks aren't quite as grand, I guess, you could end up with that situation where your portfolio takes a little longer to unwind from some of those concentrated positions, right? So, but that situation, Sam, with that client, that was one early on where we kind of knew direct indexing is really going to solve a very big problem for our wealthy clients who have generated their wealth in a basket of stocks, right? Or even worse, or even better, depending how you're looking at it, one big name.
Yeah. We see that a lot.
Now back to Mike, what you said about, you know, customization and tax management. I mean, you check both of those boxes going back to this family office client. And, you know, I think what we see a lot is there's so much focus on, you know, the growth aspect of the portfolio, making sure that you're beating benchmarks and driving returns. And you have to have along the way a specific tax management plan that's going to work in concert with whatever you're trying to do in terms of growth. And I think that gets forgotten about. And I think going back to the client you're talking about, you went at them, they had a problem. It was a tax problem. And you were able to solve that problem for them. And I think that just speaks to the power of direct indexing. So it's a great story. So you talked a little bit about, you know, the length of time it takes for somebody maybe to transition out of an individual or concentrated position. Something else that I think, you know, there's a lot of pros, but one thing that it's important to be mindful of as well, if you've got a market that goes straight up, all right, can you talk a little bit about that? So you're in a position where maybe you're not adding to the portfolio, you put some money into it, and then 5 years later, the market's done nothing but go straight up. So talk about kind of what happens in that situation as well.
Yeah, well, first from your mouth to God's ears, Darren, the market will only go up from here, right? That's what all of our investors want to hear.
Not that anyone's complaining about a market that goes straight up, but it is something to at least mention, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there is a theory with direct indexing. You know, obviously cash is king, right? That's the old saying. And if you are able to add cash to a direct indexing portfolio, no matter how big or small year over year, that enables a direct indexing manager to buy new tax lots, right? Which could potentially have losses pretty quickly on them. So adding cash to a direct index, you know, as often or as, you know, as large or small as you can, it makes a very big difference. Because one of the, you know, potential downsides of a direct index, we always talk about the good with the bad, is if you do get that scenario you just mentioned, Darren, where everything goes to the moon, and in 5 years, we're looking at a portfolio of just a wall of appreciated stock, right? And we can't do anything with that. There is no place to go. Anytime we have to manage your risk relative to the index, we have to sell positions at a loss or at a gain, right? So that is the what a lot of people refer to as kicking your tax problem down the road, right? And you hit that wall. So cash always helps, and we always tell our investors that for sure. There are direct indexing managers out there now that allow customization. They allow managers to or clients to tell a direct indexing manager how they want them to manage the portfolio. So some of them can actually weigh the benefit mm-hmm. of the loss to the a risk of the portfolio in a little bit more of an efficient pattern. So in that scenario I'm laying out to you, some managers, actually, if you tell them that, they won't sell everything at a loss when it, you know, when it sits in the portfolio. You could very well be looking at year over year where some stocks actually are at a loss and the manager hasn't taken them. That also goes to your question prior of where we see the industry going. This is really why it's going to become even more customized. Literally an advisor, a client, and a CPA saying to the direct indexing manager, we want you to manage it this way, either with the strategy focus first, the balance focus second, or the tax loss harvesting side as the most important. So, but cash is king, no doubt about it. If you can add regularly, it prevents that problem of a wall of appreciated stock down the road.
Not a bad problem to have, but still adding more money to it over time really does help. Okay, great. So let's wrap in the interest of time. So Mike, jump in. I'm going to recap and you just let me know if I'm off base. So custom indexing is a separately managed account with, let's call it a tax brain. Right. It will own the individual stocks of whatever index you're hoping to replicate, call it the S&P 500, the MSCI. Over the course of time during the year, they'll be looking for opportunities to, let's say, sell Coca-Cola at a loss and then buy Pepsi. So they're constantly looking for ways to harvest losses so that you'll be left with at the end of the year, potentially a gain in the portfolio, while at the same time, the benefit of a tax loss. How'd I do?
Well said.
Good.
Very well said.
Great. So, Mike, we really appreciate your time. This is such an important topic to us and our team. You've been such a great partner over the years. Really, really helpful. So I'm going to let Sam wrap with her final question.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. This was an awesome conversation. We have a tradition here on More Than Wealth to ask a health and wellness question, because at the end of the day, wealth truly means nothing if you aren't healthy enough to enjoy it. So, Mike, what is one health or wellness routine you couldn't live without that you would love to share with the audience?
Yes, totally agree. Health is everything. And as you, I think, both know, I was a college tennis player. I played tennis literally 6 days a week. That was what I did to stay in very, very good shape. And about a year ago, I actually had a pretty severe knee injury, which has prevented me from being as competitive as I'd like to be. Had a couple of surgeries. And honestly, what I've worked into my routine here, now that I am unable to play tennis as often as I'd like or the way I wanted to, is the consistency of, honestly, a nightly dog walk. I walk my dog right after dinner. Every single night, same route, 1 mile. I have three young kids. One of my three kids usually joins me. Sometimes, if they like me that day, I'll get two of them with me. But that walk when I am home has become so incredibly healthy, or so incredibly important, not only for my health, but also my mental health, right? And it's the only time.
Checking a lot of boxes.
Yeah, it's the only time my kids will talk to me, too. That's the other thing. What they did at school that day. So, consistency, routine, that 1 mile, walk with Raleigh and whichever one of my children will join me that day has been incredibly important for clearing your head.
Nice. Shout out to Raleigh, keeping you healthy and the kids. That's good stuff. Okay. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us and helping us unpack the concept of direct indexing. We greatly appreciate it. And we want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of More Than Wealth. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe. Until next time, remember, true wealth isn't about what you have. It's about who you become. For Sam Hodgkins, I'm Darren Gold. We thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on More Than Wealth.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at advisors.ubs.com/thegoldgroup or give us a call at 617-261-2662. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Gold Wealth Management Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Please do not transmit orders or instructions regarding a UBS account by email. For your protection, UBS does not accept and act on such instructions. Similarly, UBS does not accept trading instructions via voicemail, text messages, instant messaging, or facsimile. Do not include information containing account numbers, social security numbers, credit card numbers, passwords, or other personal information. Please speak directly with your financial advisor if you need to give instructions related to your account. Please be advised that where data regarding your account and/or accounts is provided in this email, it should not be considered official UBS books and records. Official UBS records. Official UBS records are documents such as confirmations, statements, and portfolio management reports, which UBS provides to you periodically. In some cases, the data shown is taken from internal UBS systems and fluctuates with market and transaction activity. Assets in your account and/or accounts that are not valued daily, for example, alternative investments and annuities, are accurately reflected only in official UBS records. You should review your official UBS records for disclosures about those values and all of the information needed to understand the data provided with this email. For non-clients, if you do not want to receive these types of commercial email messages, please complete the unsubscribe form at https://www.ubs.com/us/en/wealth-management/contact-us/unsubscribe.html to indicate that you do not want to be contacted by email. For more information about how UBS processes your data, including how we protect your rights and respect your data, please refer to our privacy notice at https://www.ubs.com/global/en/legal/privacy/USA.html.